Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And as we consider the coming of the light into the world, we pray that you would bless our eyes to be opened to see that light in all its glory. We pray it in his name. Amen. So here we are, a few days from the new year. It's a new year, new start, and I know you've heard that all before. Every new year we hear it's a new start, it's a time for New Year's resolutions, it's a new you, and maybe at the end of 2020 we kind of feel the need for that a little bit more than we have in other years. But the trouble is, the more you hear about that, the new year, the new start, the new you, and the more it doesn't work and things go back to how they were before, the more cynical we can become about this sort of thing. And yet, for all the cynicism, and the understandable cynicism, the new year is just around the corner, and it does present us with a good opportunity to think about what is worth doing. What do we want to prioritize in the coming year? And I don't just mean resolutions like this one, be more awesome than last year, although, you know, great resolution. But seriously, we do want to spend 2021 in a worthwhile way, doing worthwhile things. And 2020 should have reminded us that our lives and our time are both precious and fragile. So as we begin the new year, it's worth just considering how we can live in the most worthwhile way. And two of the things from that passage in Luke that we heard jump out as worth committing ourselves to in this coming year, both as a church and as individuals. The passage was Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. If you've got Bibles there, great to have them open, because here is where our authority comes from. So have them open. We'll have a look at these two worthwhile things now. The first thing worth committing yourself to is this: telling what you're told. Telling what you're told. The shepherds in this passage in Luke kind of show the way here. If you've been here over Christmas, you will have heard about these shepherds a number of times. If not, we've been hearing about the shepherds a number of times. We've been hearing how they went to see for themselves about this new baby who was born, this baby they'd been told about. There at the verse 15, at the very start of our reading, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they'd been told of the Saviour in a manger. So they went to see for themselves. And it could be that some of us here today are in precisely that position. We've heard about the Saviour. We've been told a bit about him. But we still need to find out for ourselves, to really dig in and investigate for ourselves and look in to the claims about him. And if that's you, if you're in that sort of situation, can I urge you, please do that. Please make it your New Year's resolution to look into him for yourself. You will never make a better New Year's resolution than that. And if you want help to do that, to find out about this Savior, to look into him, please chat to me. I would be delighted to do that. It's one of my great joys. People who are honestly interested in looking into Jesus, it's one of my great joys to help with that. But something I want us to particularly notice about the shepherds today is what they did next in verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They spread the word. That makes sense, doesn't it? And when my kids were born, I sent out text messages and emails and Facebook posts because it was good news, and you tell good news. You share good news. The shepherds had good news, so they told it. We have good news. We should share it. But the thing is, and we need to realize here, it wouldn't have looked all that impressive. I mean, the shepherds saw a baby in a food trough. A baby in a food trough. And as awesome as new babies are, there are actually quite a lot of them. In one sense, what the shepherd saw was just another baby. This one was lying in a weird place, kind of like one of those old Ann Geddes calendars, which had lots of babies lying in weird places. At one level, what the shepherd saw was just another baby, and as special as every baby is, there's been plenty of them through history. But did you notice there in verse 17 what it was the shepherds went and told? Look carefully. Not just what they'd seen, but what they had been told about what they saw. So what the angels had told them about this baby, that he was the Savior, that he was the long-awaited King, that he was the Lord, that this baby was the way to peace, to hope, to God's favor. They went and told people about the promise of God that's bound up in this baby. And that should be us this coming year, telling people about the promise of this child that we've just celebrated. That this child grew up to become the Savior. That he now calls all people to come to him. That we all need him. And we need to respond to him urgently. That he calls us to him, which is great news. Great news which wants a response. So let's go and tell what we have been told, like the shepherds. Let's make sure we're a church that welcomes people, new people in, to hear this message of Jesus, that makes it easy for people to come in and hear this message of Jesus. Let's be ready to change things about how we do things that we like so that other people can feel more comfortable to come in here to hear about Jesus, because it's too good to keep to ourselves. And let's do that individually, personally, out there. The thing about New Year's resolutions, though, is they need to be specific. If they're too vague, they don't work. So I want to ask you, who can you tell? Who can you tell? Who can I tell? Who is a person or a couple of people that you can look to share this great news with over the coming year? Absolutely, we want to be open to spontaneous opportunities that the Lord might bring along for us to share with people. That's fantastic. But also, and intentionally, can I encourage you to think of a specific person or of people right now? And can I suggest that you resolve to pray for them regularly and to look for those opportunities to share this good news with them? And with God's help, maybe they'll be like the people in verse 18 who were amazed when they heard this good news. And maybe these people that you're praying for and that you're thinking of will really come to understand it. And what better thing for someone to come than to come and understand the gospel of Jesus, the message of forgiveness, of hope, the message of life. Well, that's the first resolution that this passage puts forward to us, telling what you're told, like the shepherds. The second is this, doing what you're told. Doing what you're told. Does that sound exciting, doing what you're told? It may not sound super attractive to us. In some ways, I think we in our culture have a bit of an allergy to this kind of thing, to doing what we're told. It sounds like mindless following, or like not really thinking for ourselves, or like losing our freedom, or it sounds like the oppression of the government, or the oppression of the market, or the oppression of whoever we think oppresses us. Doing what we're told doesn't sound super attractive, but the thing is, it all depends on who the teller is. Who is the one telling you what to do? That makes all the difference. It may be mindless sometimes to just do what some authority figure says to do. But when the person who is telling you to do something, when that person is totally trustworthy, when that person really knows what's best, more than you do, when that person has your best interests and other people's best interests at heart, then doing what you're told becomes the most wise thing that you could possibly do. And in fact, in that situation, not doing what you're told is really mindless pig-headedness. Well, Jesus' family here, especially Mary, show us the beauty and wisdom of doing what you're told. because they show faithful obedience to the Lord, something that we should resolve ourselves to this coming year. First of all, at the end of the passage, verse 21, Jesus is presented for circumcision on the eighth day. And that was in obedience to God's Old Testament law for the nation of Israel. The book of Leviticus makes it clear that baby Israelite boys were to be circumcised on the eighth day from their birth. That was a sign that they were part of God's covenant people. So, here, Mary and Joseph are showing a pious obedience towards God. But if you look carefully, you'll notice that circumcision is not what's focused on in verse 21. Have a careful look. It's actually the naming that Luke emphasizes. They name him Jesus, just as the angel had commanded Mary back in chapter 1. And when Mary was told that she was going to have a baby, she was told to name him Jesus. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, it focuses on Joseph a little bit more, and he was told the same thing. He was given the same instruction, name this baby Jesus. And that's exactly what they do here. And in doing this, Mary and Joseph imply their agreement to the other things that Mary had been told about this child, that he would be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the heir of David's throne, that he would be the great promised king. And while that sounds very good, agreeing and accepting that is actually a pretty tough call when you're a peasant girl who's about to have a baby. Accepting that's what your baby is going to be is a pretty big call. But it's not mindless obedience. And we see that with Mary here. Biblical obedience and submission is pretty much never mindless. Despite what you might think, you might hear, biblical obedience and submission is deep thought through obedience. Look again at verse 19 for Mary's example here. After the shepherds had started telling the good news about this baby, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought hard about them, all these things that had been happening and had been said to her. She even wrestled with them. That's the sense of the terms there. She pondered them in her heart. She was wrestling with them. Indeed, she would wrestle with her son's identity for the rest of his life. And that's understandable. In so many ways, he was a normal Jewish baby boy. That's why, as a side point, I do have some qualms about that line, in a way in a manger, no crying he makes. We sing it, it's okay, you know, it's a nice Christmas thing. I do wonder if we should try and rewrite it, though. Might cause a riot, but I wonder. Because obviously the writer of that verse didn't know human babies very well. Jesus was a real human baby, and crying they do make. They certainly do, over and over. I still remember, and some of you have a much more recent, fresh, tired memory of that. Mary and Joseph had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day like a normal Jewish boy. He was a thoroughly human baby. But Mary had been told that he was much more. He was the promised one. And at that point, we heard a few weeks ago when she was told that, she asked, how can this be? She wrestled and wondered at every point with what she'd been told. Yet in the end, after the angel assured her that God was the one who would do this and nothing was impossible with God, she said those incredible words that we heard. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Literally, that last bit, literally, let it be with me according to your word. Facing seemingly impossible promises and commands, she said, let it be with me according to your word. That's a resolution worth making. To have that sort of attitude, that sort of obedience to the Lord this coming year, not mindless obedience, but a thoughtful, conscious, intentional submission. Because we know that the one commanding us is good and that he wants our best. So, in the spirit of being particular and not vague in our New Year's resolutions, what is one area where you know that the promises and commands of God are calling you to something different. Maybe to something countercultural. Maybe to something that's very different to your current way of acting. Something that will be hard or costly. What's one area where you know that's the case? Maybe you've been reading the scriptures, you've come across things and you've seen it, but you've gone, oh, but what is that area? Or maybe it's some sinful habit or attitude that seems too hard to change, or actually you're just quite comfortable with it, but you know that it's not right with the Lord. You know that it doesn't fit with His commands. I know I've got too many of those areas. What's a pattern of speech or an attitude towards someone or towards a group of people that you know is not in keeping with Jesus' love for all people or with the way He tells us to treat people, but actually you're quite comfortable, it's just what I'm like. It's just who I am. But actually, no, it's not what Jesus calls you to be. And you know that. What's an area there? See, what is the particular thing that you know the Lord is calling you to obey, to trust Him in what He's told you in His Word in this new year? What is that area that you're going to commit to? Because this same baby in a manger is still the promised one for us. The one who brought us salvation, who's brought us from darkness to light, who's nailed our record of debt, of wrongs to the cross, and has set us free to serve and obey Him, and to willingly do what He tells us. Not because we'll earn His favor if we do it, not because if we do the right thing then He'll accept us, no. Because He already loves us and accepts us. And we know that He wants what's best for us. So, who can you tell about what you've been told about the Lord? And how can you obey what you've been told by the Lord? Who can you tell what you've been told about the Lord? And how can you obey what you've been told by the Lord? There's a couple of New Year's resolutions worth making. Worth praying over as we approach the new year. Praying the Lord will help us to keep them. And that even when we fail, He'll pick us up again and help us to continue seeking to keep them. Will you decide now to pray for these things in your mind over the coming week? I'm going to give us a quiet moment just to consider how we're going to respond to these challenges from the scriptures. And then I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You that You're a God who saves us not because we're good enough, but just because of Your love and Your grace. And because of that and through that, You're a God who calls us to speak of Your truth and to live in line with it. We know that we fail at that in many ways, but we pray that by Your Spirit You would strengthen us and give us wisdom, give us courage and give us endurance to tell what we've been told about You and to do what You've told us to do, knowing that You seek our good and that You know what's best. So we entrust ourselves in this coming year to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.